Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hello and welcome everyone to House the Josh. I'm Umkar Chaudhary, your host. Well, music is something that we all cherish. Today's guest is from music industry who gave his debut performance at Sunburn. He's known all across the country for his high energy sets and various styles of production. He also shared the stage with Hardwell, David Jutta, Dimitri Vegas like Mike, DJ Snake and many. Can't wait to get in conversation with such an energetic soul. Let's welcome on the show, Joshi. Welcome, Joshi.
Hi guys. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good, man. Thanks so much.
Yes. And we're really happy to have you on the show.
Most definitely. I'm looking forward to having a good chat with you guys.
Definitely. And before we begin, how's Rishabh?
Extremely energetic, sir.
Oh, that's amazing. That's what we want on this podcast. We want this energetic soul to be in our conversation.
Fantastic. Well, it's the weekend. The weekend's here. The night's about to begin. So it's a great time to start.
Definitely. So moving on, Rishabh, there's one thing I always wanted to ask you. It's like, what made you think that to dabble your feet into this music industry? Was it pre-decided that you wanted to be an artist and like do EDM covers or be into this industry? Or it all happened all of a sudden?
To be very honest, I don't think it was something I wanted to do from the beginning. I've always really liked music as a just as a passion, but I never really thought of it as a profession until somewhere in 2006, 2007, where I actually attended the first ever Sunburn that happened in Goa in 2007, I think. And it was the first time I was actually exposed to sort of electronic music from a global perspective. Before that, you know, I used to always only listen to like Hindi music or film music or Bollywood music, which was amazing, but it was more of a passion and never something I saw myself doing personally. However, when I sort of got exposed to electronic music at this festival, my mind was sort of really blown and I was pretty impressed with the sort of, you know, the space, the sound, everything was so new and foreign and really appealed to me. So that's when I sort of, my interest sort of really sparked quite a bit. And this entire sort of genre was being created out of computers and technology and not necessarily using instruments or like live instruments at that time. So that was also something that really sort of tickled my curiosity. And I started playing with computers and softwares and trying to figure out how this was working. And one thing led to the next, that passion kept increasing. And eventually over a couple of years, I sort of realized that I was pretty good at it. And I was able to make music that people sort of resonated with. And so one thing led to the other. And that's how I sort of decided to get into this as a profession. So I was actually studying to be more of a finance guy. I did my undergrad in economics and finance and my master's in finance and accounting as well from the London School of Economics. So I was all set to become an investment banker. But then this happened and I came back to India and decided to pursue my career here in music.
All right. So it has all been an interesting journey from being a banker, education, to being an artist who does very well in the music industry in the field of EDM.
Correct.
All right. It has been really amazing. Like, you know, many times it happens that we think of being something else, we pursue education in a certain sector, but then we make a beautiful career in the passionate sector that we are about.
Of course. I think when you sort of follow something that you're passionate about and keep doing it, it just always ends up, you know, being a winning formula because there's no substitute for that. If you start doing something that makes you good money, but you're not really enjoying, there's always a limit to how much you can achieve with that.
Exactly. So when it comes to music, like, you know, if you're talking about films, there's always a director who guides you through the whole journey. But when it comes to music and you being independent and, you know, there's no one restricting you from making a certain kind of song or something. So how do you direct yourself into a certain way, in a way that you attract audience or in a way that you attract the listeners to you? So what is that skillful part about you?
So I think there are sort of two approaches to this. One of the approaches is essentially, you know, you being yourself and expressing what you are feeling at the time, whether it's an emotion, whether it's your surrounding, whether it's your journey. So that is the first approach that a lot of artists in my space do, where we don't really restrict ourselves to a genre or to like what the market is sort of currently asking, and you just sort of do, what you feel like doing. It might work, it might fail, and that's the risk and the beauty of it, but it's essentially an expression of yourself. And the second element is, the second way of looking at things is we sort of, you know, look into the market and be like, okay, hey, this is what's working, this is what people are loving right now. So then you sort of, you know, focus on that sub-genre of music and then try to add your sort of creativity or your uniqueness to that sound, so that you also eliminate a little bit of risk, because you know, okay, this sound is in, this sound is sort of working. So there's a lot of studying, it's a lot of experimenting, but it's also a lot to do with taking something and then adding your uniqueness to it, because if you don't, then it's just going to sound like one of the 100 other songs that are already out there. Whether right now currently hip-hop is trending, the one before this was pop. So in that sense, yes, sometimes I like to make music which is completely in a random genre, like a deep house track or a progressive trance track, which has no bearing to my market, because personally, the market for that sort of died 8-10 years ago. However, when you look at it, there is something I was really passionate about, so I keep doing that even in my free time, and I feel like making music. You'll always see me dabbling in like chill out music or like in deep music, despite the fact that I don't actually perform with this music, you know. So that is one part, which is making music because it's something I personally like or as a passion. The second aspect is the market, the marketability and sort of the sellability. So you take the genres, as I said, you look at what's sort of working, see how you can add your own twist to it, have fun in the whole journey. I think that's very important. And then
exactly. The main thing of the whole process is to have the fun and the kind of domain that you work at.
Of course, definitely. I think if you don't have fun while doing this, it's a very difficult, it's not as easy and hunky-dory as it looks, right? So a lot of times people look at this profession as being these dudes standing on these stages playing and jumping around to 2,000, 3,000, 5,000 people. But what goes on behind the scenes is actually so many hours and hours and hours of work. Most people don't know this, but when you're actually making a track, you end up not sleeping for 2 days, 3 days. You're working at a stretch continuously for 72 hours, 4 days sometimes. And you're just, you know, going on and on and on, reworking the same project, the same sound. So literally imagine sitting in a room, listening to a track like, you know, 6,000 times. You end up getting quite agitated and bored with it by the time you're finished with the project. So there are a lot of things that go into this. There's a lot of patience, there's a lot of time, a lot of hard work. A lot of the newcomers sort of today expect results immediately. They feel like, okay, I just sit in front of this software and like dabble with it, tamble with it for like 1 day, 2 days, and I should come up with something world-class. But that doesn't happen, you know. It's a process. Is like everyone's always learning. Even the best musicians today are still learning.
Definitely, as you mentioned earlier, it takes a lot of perseverance in a man, like, you know, to create something new that people will really cherish. And newcomers nowadays expect for instant gratification, which is not possible in this industry. As you said, it really takes a lot of hours and a lot of days to work on a certain track.
Correct.
Exactly. Like, also moving on to another part, like, as you said, you did your covers, you also participated in big festivals like Sunburn, and you did share your stage with big artists. So how was that feeling for you? So how was that whole feeling for you, like, being on a big name, sharing the stage with these big people?
I mean, to be very honest, it was a dream come true, because before I started, and at the point of starting, getting into making music electronically, it was always like, well, I wish one day I'm going to be on the stage playing with these guys, because that's sort of like, you know, that was the dream. So in that sense, it was amazing, because it was like a dream unfolding and actually, you know, coming to reality. So from that perspective, it was great. Initially, the first couple of times that I played at this level of the scale of shows, I was extremely, extremely nervous, because, you know, personally speaking, I'm not such a super social person. I'm a bit of an introvert. So for me to suddenly be thrown onto a stage and have like, you know, the Hardwell show, I think, had close to 50,000 people at D.Y. Patil. It was really, really overwhelming. So the butterflies were very high. The feeling, I was very scared, I was very anxious. But what happens is, over time, as you start doing this, as you get a grasp of it, I realized I was really, really, really enjoying it. I thought, like, this is what I'm meant to do. And ever since, there's been no looking back. So now it's really fun. I actually have a great time. I'm always really looking forward to playing to big crowds.
All right. That is like definitely a part of everyone's, every artist's life, that they want to be big, and obviously their dreams do come true. Like, moving on, there's also a thing, like, what all challenges did you face up till now? And, like, you know, how did you deal with them? Because any project that you take on, there are obviously ups and downs definitely there. So how do you handle this down part?
Sure. So specifically to my career, there are two aspects. One is the music making part or the music producing part, which had its own set of challenges. And then there's the performance part. Now, the thing is with India, with the way our industry is structured, is that musically speaking, it's very difficult for people who are good producers to necessarily, they don't always get a break, right? In most entertainment spaces in India, there's a network play a big role. Having a godfather sometimes helps. Knowing the right people always sort of helps. Talent, it's quite difficult for talent organically to get really picked up without the right distribution or partner on board. So I think that was a huge challenge in the beginning of my career, just getting my tracks released onto a good label or getting it released by a known name or getting it supported or played or endorsed by someone big in the industry was sort of a huge challenge, which took almost 2 to 3 years of, you know, just going, sending songs, sending demos nonstop and things not working out and being super excited about this project, but then no one responding to it and then moving on. So there's a constant, as I said, there's patience and perseverance that played a very, very big role. And sort of not getting disillusioned, because with every sort of passing rejection or every time you don't hear back from someone, your morale always comes down a little. And sort of keeping your mind strong and making sure that you keep going is very important, because if you are passionate about it and you do put in the hours, there is no way it's not going to work at some point or the other, right?
Yeah.
So staying there and constantly hustling is sort of very important. So that was the music bit. In terms of the performance bit, it was also quite the struggle, because it was very difficult, because like, okay, I'm putting out all these tracks on these European record labels and these famous names like Armin van Buuren are playing my tracks and above and beyond. But sort of, what do you do with that? Like, how do I sell that in India? So that was a big challenge when I came back and wanted to perform in India. So initially for the first 1 year, it was pretty much impossible to get any gigs, get any shows. Nobody sort of wanted to book you. Nobody knew what was happening. Everyone rather played it safe and got some famous Bollywood DJ to play instead. But that market sort of started changing as well, thanks to Sunburn and Supersonic and these other festivals that sort of created this market for us in India over the last decade. And since then, things have been looking good. So I think it's also timing, a lot to do with being early in the space has a lot, increases your chances of sort of doing well. But sort of sustaining there, keeping it, keep on going is like the best lesson that I've learned, I think. Never doubt yourself. It's okay. I'm sure you fail. You fail the first time. You fail the second time. The third time. But then things will always work out when you keep pushing for it. And it's something you're really passionate about.
All right. Speaking about the initial phase of your career, do you think that people were a bit harsher to judge you? Like, did they judge you a bit on a harsher side or on a harder side? Or were they readily accepting you?
So I think in the beginning, way it works is in the beginning your reach is so small. You don't actually have that many people listening to your music in the beginning, right?
Yeah.
Because it's only your friends or family, and then people who just happen to sort of organically find you on YouTube or Spotify or Sabon or wherever it is. So I think that sort of, for me initially, personally, my music was quite niche, it was quite underground. It wasn't as mainstream as it is today. So at my starting of my career, the music that I was making sort of appealed to a very niche audience. And that audience sort of was very, very into the kind of music I was making. There was a whole community. There were these podcasts and radio shows around this genre of music. And that sort of helped me get quite a good international audience for my music within my niche category of what I was doing. So in that sense, I don't think I was, like, there was, you know, wasn't really much of a judgment or like a negative feedback that came in the beginning. Because I was only catering essentially to the audience that liked my music in a way. And the people who did not like it but did not listen to it. Or would not even find it, because it was being released on platforms and the distribution was happening in a way in which it was only going to people who like that type of music.
Exactly. Like, you know, everybody has got a different genre and a different taste of music. So the people are like categorized accordingly. Exactly.
Of course, definitely. Yeah.
Definitely.
A lot of people really love Bollywood music and don't understand techno music. A lot of the techno people love techno music and absolutely hate Bollywood music. So you've always got these.
Yeah, on a large scale, we have seen that the people who are much more into EDM, they're like, no, shit, man, I don't like Bollywood. And people who are into Bollywood, they're like, no, man, I don't like EDM. That is a point that you made up. Exactly.
And I think a lot of this has to do with even society in general and just general cultural.
Like, have we just took out this topic of Bollywood and EDM? Just a curiosity. Yeah. Like, you know, what do you think, Zoshi, like, in a way, can Bollywood and EDM be, like, you know, collaborated and some new manifestation can be created? Like, what do you feel about it?
Definitely. So what I'm talking about, this of what we were discussing about old guys listening to EDM, not liking Bollywood and vice versa, was, I think, a story that sort of ended 1 or 2 years ago. So if you look at what's happening today, that Bollywood and EDM are sort of merged together in a very big way. So practically every Bollywood song that we hear that's not romantic, that's a little more upbeat, has a lot of EDM influence into it. A lot of EDM is incorporating Bollywood. I think the most recent project that comes to my mind was like one of the biggest artists, Marshmallow, collaborated with this Indian musician, Pritam, and had like Shah Rukh Khan in the video. So it was all Biba. Sorts of fusing of Bollywood called Biba, correct. So there's a lot of Bollywood meets EDM collaborations happening at the moment. Many, many artists are doing things with Indians. A lot of Bollywood projects, in fact, a lot of movies are sort of using EDM to make their movies also in terms of making more upbeat numbers. In ECT series, all the films that they're producing, they're always revising old songs from their catalog by adding a modern EDM twist to it. And yeah. Those are all becoming like super hits over here right now.
Exactly.
If you look
exactly.
at like the current big hit in Bollywood, which is I think Lamborghini.
So yeah, we can keep the fingers crossed and let's hope that there will be some good music out there, like, you know, a collaboration of EDM and Bollywood.
Oh, definitely. I see that only increasing with time now. And we can end up becoming like one blurred category, which is, you know, Bollydem or something like that, which is just a fusion of both.
Yes. Okay. Also, moving on, like talking about today's age, like, you know, predominantly this social media which is driving us, maybe Twitter, maybe Instagram. So this is a must ask question to you. Like, whenever you put out your music covers or maybe any sort of post on the social media, so how do you react? Like, you know, the people are reacting in both the ways. Some people say good things about it. Some people say bad things about it.
Yeah.
So what is your reaction to the mean comments, basically?
I think, I mean, in the beginning, it used to really annoy you because you put in so much of your, you know, effort and time to make this and you just get someone saying, hey, you know, abusing you in Hindi or giving you some horrible track or whatever. So initially, it always hurts. But I think over time, you sort of, as you mature a little in your career, you sort of realize that, you know, you cannot please everybody. Everyone's listening taste preferences are different. So statistically, in a group of 100 people, you're always going to have 5, 6, 7 people who might not agree with your viewpoint, who might not agree with your sound, or might not like it. And it's perfectly fine. It's perfectly fair for them not to like it. So they like something else, great. They just happen to have stumbled upon the wrong channel. That's it. So I take it in my stride as part of my learning. If sometimes you see too many negative comments, and it's sort of, it's good to introspect and see, okay, maybe what I put out is not, you know, really up to the mark yet. Maybe I could have worked on it better. But you shouldn't self-doubt yourself too much, because ultimately I think music is more about expressing yourself than really pleasing the people you're trying to express it to, right?
Yes, definitely.
I think it's more important that you sort of enjoy what you're doing. And it's fine if you get a couple of negative comments. It's bound to happen. But in terms of personally affecting me, it's actually never really affected me personally. I've had my fair share of negative comments here and there, especially in the beginning of my career. But that's taken me aside, and you learn from it, and the next time hopefully it'll reduce.
All right. So, like, initially it was a bit tough, but now it's like, you know, some people don't like, some people like. So that's like, you know, it's all right with the mean comment.
But I think over time, as you get older in the industry,
yeah, as we excel into our career,
people sort of also start following you because of the kind of sound that you're making, right? So there's very little chance for people to not like what it is, because they're actively coming to you or following you because of what it is that you're preaching or what it is that you're disseminating.
Exactly.
If I'm making a certain sound, if I'm putting out music in a certain type of vibe, then people are coming and following me because of that vibe. So it's not like I'm going to get someone who's like, you know, who hates that kind of music coming in and saying, commenting, saying bakwas, you know, Gana. That's fine, but like that doesn't happen. Initially, yes, when people don't know what it is you do, when you're just trying to establish yourself and create your identity, at that point, that confusion can happen quite a bit. Like, you know, you're selling it to all kinds of friends who listen to all kinds of music, and then be like, okay, yeah, this is cool, but really not my vibe, you know. But over time, a bunch of followers are all following your vibe, and it becomes, then you start seeing a negative comment situation.
Exactly.
Unless, of course, you decide to experiment and, like, you know, completely flip your own sound and do something, which happens all the time. With all artists at some point always like experimenting and doing something different. So those are hit or misses. Sometimes they work really well. Sometimes they perform really badly. So that's part of the game.
All right. Like, moving on, Joshi, like, the name of the show is House of Josh. So tell us something about your motivation, your Josh, that kicks you off the bed and, like, you know, gets you start working out there. So what is that Josh, or what is that fire within you that puts you to work every day in a creative way?
I think it's always, for me, it's always setting like a very big dream or a very big goal. So that, you know, back in 2004 and 2005, the big goal was being on stage with the big names, you know, big 20,000 or 10,000 capacity stadium. And that motivation sort of let me, every time I felt down, I was always like, okay, look, I got to think that's where I'm going to be only. And I keep going based on that thought. So it's always having that one big thought for me, that really, really drives me every day. No matter where you are at the scale, wherever you reach up the ladder, you always start thinking bigger, bigger, bigger. And the bigger you start thinking and the bigger the dream is, the more you want to sort of achieve it.
Exactly. So it's more about setting the goals and getting back to the work.
Definitely. So I think it's not looking at the short-term, you know, difficulties that you're facing or you're struggling with, but it's more looking at, okay, where it is I want to be. And the road to getting there is not going to be easy. So it's always, you have to go through these small struggles to get to that bigger platform.
Exactly. All right. Because the small struggles are somewhere leading you to a bigger path, a bigger exposure.
Definitely. So in the short term, it does bug you and it does put you down. And there are many sacrifices that you have to make. You can't, you know, maybe you can't go for a holiday, or you can't go for some party, or you spend your weekend at home making music instead of partying, whatever it is. So that might put you down in the short term. You might get into depression. You might get sad. You might do all kinds of things. But I think so long as you continuously pursue this with your passion, with your dedication, there's nothing to stop you from, you know, eventually getting onto the business.
All right. Definitely. Like, we have done with so much of serious talks and everything. So now is the time to, like, you know, replenish ourselves with the happy segment known as Josh Fire. So are you ready for that?
Sure, let's do it.
You want to be, like, you know, super truthful and honest about it. And most importantly, you want to be rapid about it.
Definitely. Done.
Okay. So let's start with the Josh Fire. The first question to you. Are you a tea or a coffee person?
Coffee.
Mountain or beaches?
Beetle.
One thing of yours you would love to be insured about?
Insured? My laptop, which has all my software, because that's my coal mine.
Definitely, that is something going to earn you the daily bread.
Yeah, definitely. I can't even imagine someone took my laptop away and what I would do.
Okay.
It's like I'd be paralyzed.
Moving on. Pick anyone to team up with to be your dance partner.
To be your dance partner?
Yeah. So we have to pick up anyone to be your dance partner. Like, you know, to team up with to be your dance partner.
Alia Bhatt.
Wow. Co-star in a movie.
Co-star in a movie. Well, I mean, I've never really thought of acting, but sure, I think Shraddha Kapoor would be pretty good.
Okay. Gym partner.
Gym partner. Ooh, this is a good one. Who would be my gym partner? Maybe Varun Dhawan.
Okay, because I thought you would choose Malaika Arora or what.
But then I wouldn't be gymming then, right? I'd probably be not so motivated to be gymming at that point. So I'd rather have someone who's serious and I can really work out with.
Okay, Varun Dhawan. Okay, moving on to the next one. Who do you think to be your competition in this industry?
I think there's no one really who's competing. I think we're all in this. Even if there are other electronic artists, they're all not competing because they're all contributing to the same scene. So I think it's really wrong to look at it as competition directly.
So it's more of a contribution towards the society and towards this whole industry rather than calling it a negative.
It's contribution to society per se, but I think, I mean, it's, instead of looking at it as competition, we're not really cannibalizing each other, right? There's enough space for all of us to exist and coexist and do our own thing.
Okay. I think this is a positive outlook of yours, like, you know, looking at has contributing towards the industry, making it more better by creating some healthy vibe there.
I think if you look at it and start playing politics from a myopic viewpoint, it just gets really messy and it's not really, you're not also going to achieve anything, and the person you're fighting against also is not going to achieve anything. So I think competition really makes no sense.
Okay. Moving on. Name three weird things about your lifestyle.
Three weird things about my lifestyle. Well, I actually sleep all night. All day, twice, three times a week. And I have a normal 9-to-5 life 4 days a week. So that's quite offbeat for most people.
Okay. Second thing?
Second weird thing is I travel. My travel patterns can also be quite erratic. Sometimes I'm traveling 20 days a month. Sometimes I'm not traveling for 3 months. I'm just sitting at home, not doing anything. What is the third thing I can think of? That's really weird. I don't know. I'm sort of out of ideas right now.
Anyway, okay, so we'll lock it at two and we'll move on to the next question.
Sure.
Okay, what the following people have you wish you had? David Guetta.
Great sense of music.
Martin Garrix.
Age.
Avicii.
Maybe age and maybe good looks as well.
Okay. Avicii.
Avicii is melodies, man. His melodies are something else.
Calvin Harris.
Calvin Harris' popularity. That guy is a machine, a PR machine.
Okay, next one. Name one person to have a coffee with.
Name one person to have a coffee with?
Yes.
Armin Van Buren?
To hang out on a brunch.
To hang out on a brunch. Martin Garrix.
Whose career graph you want to replicate?
Career graph I want to replicate? I have to think of someone who already not, who didn't really start young, because how would I replicate that? But I think, yeah, maybe an above and beyond.
Okay. Rank the following people in terms of their excellency of their work. Zedd, Afrojack, Kygo, Marshmello, Tiësto.
Can you repeat that, please?
Yes.
Zedd, Afrojack,
Kygo, Marshmello. Marshmello, Tiësto.
Okay.
You have to rank in the...
Yes,
the, okay, you just have to rank in the terms of excellency of your work.
I would put in order of from like down to up. It would
no,
be
the first one is the best. Like, you know, the first one is the best one.
First one is the best one. So I would probably say Tiësto, Marshmello, Kygo, Avicii was there? Is that Avicii and Afrojack last?
No, we have got Zedd, Afrojack, and Tiësto which are remaining. The first one is Marshmello, second one is Kygo.
I would say Tiësto, Zedd, Marshmello, Kygo, and Afrojack.
Okay, so the first one goes for Marshmello, the second one goes for Kygo, third one goes for?
No, I said the first one goes to Tiësto.
Okay.
The second one goes to Zedd.
Okay.
The third one goes to Marshmello.
Okay.
Fourth one would be the guy who left, Kygo.
Okay. And the fifth one is Afrojack.
Would be Afrojack.
All right. So with this, we are done with the Josh Faya, and you ultimately full of Joshila, and like, you know, you get 10 on 10 for this, for being super honest and rapid about all the answers.
Wow, amazing, man. Thank you.
Yeah, and Hamper is coming all the way. Before you ask, let me tell you, Hamper is coming all the way. No need to worry about it.
Amazing. Okay. Looking forward to it.
Definitely. And also, before you leave, there's one more question that we would like to ask you is, like, what is the advice that you will give to the teenager Rishabh, who is looking out for some guidance in this world?
Right. So I actually receive a lot of demos and a lot of these, you know, messages from aspiring producers and DJs saying, please support me, please support me. I think it's very important for them to realize that, you know, like, the thing is, there's so many people sending out generic, you know, please support me, or like, check out my demo. It's something that's not going to let you really stand out. I think a lot of people, as I said, have this wrong notion that I just need to get myself out to many people and I'm going to become famous in, like, you know, in 1 week or 1 month, because everyone believes that they're a shit. But it really takes a lot of time and effort. I think it's very important that you take a step back and give yourself, and I keep telling this to everyone I meet that who wants to really do something in this industry, is you have to assume that for the first 2 years of your life, you're not going to achieve anything. By luck, or some people win. And for the first 2 years, it's all about yourself. It's all about your struggle. It's all about working hard for yourself, not expecting anything. Just develop your sound, create your own sort of niche, your identity, and make yourself something that people want to come looking for. There's no point in trying to push your sound forcefully on other people, which is something, and you're just trying to copy some other artist. Like, you see, okay, Martin Garrix made this song, let me copy his sounds and try to, you know, say, this is my whatever DJ XYZ remix, and then try to push it out. It's not going to work, because there are 1 million people doing the same thing. So why are you going to stand out? How are you going to stand out? Who is going to book you? And why will someone book you? Unless you have something unique to offer. So I think being unique is everything. And taking time and sort of focusing on trying to build that over time. Learning the first couple of years, you'll never be at your best. It'll always take some time before you start getting the hang of things. So it's very important to have patience, one. Two, set a proper objective and work really hard towards creating a unique identity. Because I think that will really sell a lot more than sort of just sending demo mails and sending, you know, please support me. Because even if someone supports you, that's not going to really help you in doing anything. Like, tomorrow, if a big Indian DJ supports a new guy on his radio station, that doesn't really convert into anything for that person. Sure, you might get some bragging rights, but beyond that, you're not really going to get a booking for a big show. Because people, as of today, I think the whole live events market also has changed so much. But instead of just promoting DJs and musicians who just play music, everyone's looking for a personality, for identities, for a lot more value add. So like most performers now are even incorporating dance elements or like singing elements. So like making it into a lot more experiential performance than just being it like a DJ performance, essentially. So a lot of the youngsters are not really aware of this. I think it's very important for them.
Again, you didn't make a noteworthy point over here. Like, you know, many people just look out for like support me. But as you said, it was a noteworthy point that this is not going to fetch you your daily bread. So it's like more of a hard work from your side.
Correct. So obviously, as artists, as us being sort of having been there for a while, it looks very bad for us to really reply back in a negative manner or try to give them that sort of advice on messages. So we always support them more or less. You know, sometimes when you get the time, we do listen to the work as well once in a week or so. But I think it's important for people themselves to realize that, you know, guys, hey, this is not really helping me in any which way. I might as well spend all that energy and time actually focusing on making my music strong so that organically I will get the reach. Today, with Saavn and Spotify and all these streaming channels, it's so easy to get your music out there, you know. And if something is fresh, something is good, it immediately sort of gets put onto some playlist and then you suddenly start seeing organic reach, which goes through the roof.
All right. Exactly. Definitely. And thank you so much for being on the show, because you really made some noteworthy points and you were so good through the whole show and the kind of advice that you gave and the happy segment that we had at the George Fire. You were good at it. So thank you so much for being on the show, because it was really a great part time for all of us.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Ankar. It was a pleasure. Thanks for having me again. And all the very best on the podcast.
Definitely. And well, that was it for today. Now we meet on next Saturday. Until we meet, take care, be happy, and most importantly, be full of Josh. Thank you.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.